Good morning, everyone. So after I made everybody dizzy by walking around so much last week, I'm going to try very hard, but it's not going to work. So I love a good party. I should rephrase that. I love going to a good party. I don't love putting on a good party because good parties, they take a lot of work. I remember when Christina and I were planning our boy's first birthday party. New parents, it's their first birthday, there's two of them. We've got to do this upright. And so I remember so much about that weekend and about that day. It was probably the largest guest list of any of the birthday parties we've had for them. It was probably the most involved meal of any of the parties that we've had for them. We had hot food prepared right up to the moment that it was served. It was fresh. It was delicious. What a great day. And we had activities for the kids and for everybody in the room. And we tried to design the day so there was a nice flow to it and everything went well. And so that when people left, they would say, that was a good party. And as I think back about it, it was a good party. But the memories that stick from that day tend not to be the ones that you would think. I remember so much the preparation for that day. I remember that the cooking. I remember all the cooking. And I remember the panic that as the last minute I almost burned the baked potato soup. And so our guests would have been without one of the major parts of the meal. And so I remember that. And I remember the panic of having to come in the morning and to get everything decorated and ready. And I always remember the panic of that one cousin who shows up 15 minutes early for everything. And you're not quite ready to have a guest yet, but somebody's in the door and you're continuing your preparations and you're trying to get ready. And I remember how quickly it was that we had to clean up because it was here at the church and you have to be out by 5. And so we were here and we were cleaning up and washing dishes and getting everything ready and getting out the door. Those memories stick. But sometimes I worry that the memories of that day, of that party, were so much of the preparation and not so much for the celebration. Because what we were there for was to celebrate that our twin boys were just turning 1. And we were there to have cake and watch them smash it in their faces. And we were there to have a good meal and to share time and fellowship with friends and family. And we had so many people there. And I'll be honest, there's some parts of that day that I'm glad that there was a camera or two in the room because I was so focused on the preparation and going around and making sure people were fed and making sure things were cleaned up and making sure things were going well that I didn't actually take the time to see some of the things that were going on at this party we were throwing. And so as we reflected on that day, we did it a little differently the next year, and we have done it a little differently ever since, where our focus has become less and less on the preparation and more on the celebration. Now, does that mean that we don't take care of our guests when they come to a party? No. We still feed them. It's just that we aren't preparing and cooking right up to the moment that we serve them. We try to get things that we can have ready before so that we can actually enjoy meal and fellowship together. And we do some decorating, but we don't go quite as far as some people. Our shows, or our parties are not worthy of reality shows. But I will say that as the birthdays have gone on and on, that our focus has become so much on the celebration and the reason that we're there, that we have different memories coming out of those parties. Now, I commend any of you who throw good parties. I commend you even more if you invite me to them. But today I want to talk about that focus on the difference between preparation and celebration. And so we're going to look at this story from Luke chapter 10 with Martha and Mary. I love Martha and Mary because we get to know them very well in the Bible. They're one of the personalities, the families, that shows up multiple times in the gospel accounts. And so we get to know a little more about them. It's not just a single encounter and then they go on their way. We have quite a few stories as Jesus encounters them and their brother Lazarus. And the culmination of that relationship in John chapter 11 and 12 is when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And we find at the beginning of that story that Jesus had loved them so much, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And there was just a relationship there in the family. This story in Luke chapter 10 starts a little earlier in the relationship. And so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to go through this story real quick twice. Once we're going to go through and I'll point a couple things out that are neat and then we'll go back through and look at a couple things maybe a different way. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now, we know that Jesus traveled around a lot. He and his disciples were going from town to town, village to village. And usually when he would arrive in a town or a village, he would be called into somebody's home. Somebody would say, "Jesus is coming," and invite him in. We know that Mary and Martha lived in Bethany. And so as Jesus and his disciples were arriving in Bethany, Martha opened up her home to him and said, "Jesus, come stay with me." She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. One of the neat things about this account is there's a couple of words, a couple phrases, descriptions that are actually used only in this account in the entire New Testament. One of them is this, that Mary is actually the only one who gets described as or has the opportunity written down that she actually sat at the Lord's feet. That she actually took that posture of humility to find herself at the Savior's feet, listening and hanging on every word that he said. What a blessing that is. There's often, Christian artists have taken a lot of time over the years to portray Mary and Martha and Jesus in this account. And so you go on Google, you'll see all kinds of paintings. And you always see two things. You see Mary, well, you see Jesus, but you see Mary sitting at his feet, often gazing lovingly up at him. You can tell that she's just so captivated by Jesus that she can't take her eyes off him. She can't pull her ears off of him. It's just that moment of worship that she's humbly gathered at his feet, listening to what he said. And it's cool, in the Greek, the listening to what he said actually says listening to his word. And the word for word is logos. It's that same word that's in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the Word of God. The very voice by which creation was spoken into existence is now sitting in Martha's house. And Mary gets to sit at his feet and listen to the Word of God, the very Word of God. What an amazing experience. The other thing you see in that painting, as Mary gazes lovingly up at her Savior, you see Martha, usually in the background, holding a tray with food and a scowl on her face. Because Martha was distracted. It's also another word that's only used here in the New Testament, that Martha was the only one described as being distracted, pulled away from that which was important, by all the preparations that had to be made. Think about the preparations that had to be made. Did Jesus travel alone? No. There were always at least 12 other men with him. And then if you can imagine Martha, I don't know that she had a kitchen, but wherever she was cooking and preparing, and she looks out and she sees Jesus and the 12, and she turns around and goes back to preparations, and she comes back, and there's another group of people coming, because once people heard that Jesus was in the house, they showed up. And so you have to imagine Martha very easily got distracted, and wouldn't we all, as we see all these people coming to our house, maybe guests that were uninvited, but guests that were coming because Jesus was there. And so Martha was distracted by all these preparations, and she came to him and she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." If paintings could move, at this point, Martha, standing there with the scowl on her face and the tray full of food, would have grabbed Jesus by the shoulder, maybe given him a little shake. Imagine that. And saying, "Lord, don't you care that she's left me to do all this work by myself? Don't you care? Tell her to help me." The idea that her sister has left her to do the work gives the idea that Mary was, in fact, helping. She was in there, she was preparing with Martha, she was getting ready for the coming of Jesus, and he's going to be in the house, and we've got so much that we've got to do for him. But when the time came that Jesus was in the other room, Mary knew that she needed to be at the feet of Jesus, listening to every single word that he said. This is the Word of God. And so she left Martha. And Martha was doing this work all by herself, and she says, "Tell her to help me." And think about that. She was really, what she was saying was, tell her to work like me. Tell Mary to be like me. I'm working so hard for you. And of course, Jesus always has the answer. "Martha, Martha." You can just imagine the tone of his voice. "You're upset about many things, but only one thing is needed." Jesus knew what was going on. He knew what was going on around. He knew that there were 12 disciples there, and he knew that there were people coming to hear him. But he's telling Martha, you're upset about so many things, but only one thing is needed. You don't need to be worrying about all those other things. You need to be worrying about one thing. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So Jesus commends Mary for taking time out of the preparation to come and sit at his feet, to hang on his every word, to be passionately following her Savior, God incarnate, sitting in the room right there. How could you not be sitting at his feet if he's there? This story speaks to me in so many ways. This story convicts me in so many ways. And so we're going to go through it again. And we're going to look at it from our perspective and see how it is that this story should impact us. So we go backwards. So Jesus and his disciples are on their way. They come to a village. They come to Bethany. And Martha welcomes him into her home. Some of the translations will say that she received him. It paints a wonderful picture of salvation. Jesus is coming. I want to receive him. All this, it's Jesus, it's God incarnate walking around. I want him to come into my life, into my home, into my situation. I welcome Jesus. I invite him. Come to me. And it paints that wonderful picture of salvation where Martha had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming to her house. Intimidating as that was from the perspective of throwing a great party, how great was it that God incarnate himself was coming to stay at her house? To be a part of her life. And so as Christians, we make this decision. We welcome Jesus into our lives. And we have one of two decisions to make. Basically every day, almost in every moment. We can be like Mary. We can sit lovingly, humbly at the feet of the Lord. Thirsty and hungry for every word that he has to say. How many of us get excited? It was last week, I think, when Bob was up here reading, and he just talked about how great it is to read the Word of God. God spoke. This is his Word. I mean, how exciting is it that we get to hang on every word that God says, if we so choose? And so Mary sat at the Lord's feet. She humbled herself. She put everything else aside, all the distractions, all the things that she could have been doing, and focused on Jesus. Listened to every word he said. Gazed lovingly at him, knowing that no matter what was going on, that was what she needed the most. We can be like Mary. And sometimes we can be like Martha. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Don't miss this. Martha invited Jesus. She welcomed him into her life, into her home. And she was distracted by all that she felt she had to do for Jesus. Yes, we can be distracted by the things outside the church, by the things outside of the Word of God, by the things that the world has to offer. We can be distracted by those things. But make no mistake about it, we can also be distracted by all the things that we think we have to do for Jesus. When in reality, we need to be sitting at his feet and listening to his word. I mean, think about it. God came, the bread of life. He came to feed, not to be fed. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And Martha was just so focused on the need to feed Jesus that she missed the opportunity to be fed. There aren't many times you're going to see somebody take to a pulpit or a platform and say what I'm about to say. So brace yourself. Sometimes we get so caught up in serving the church that we don't take the time to get to know Jesus. Did he just say what I think he said? Sometimes we can be distracted by all the service and the time that we spend giving to the church. But if it's not flowing from a right relationship with him, if we aren't first fed by him, living in his grace, living in his mercy, feeling his love flowing through our lives, then that service that we offer in his name can border on idolatry. Because that service can actually stand as a wall between us and Jesus. Because we get so blinded by the fact that we need to serve Jesus that we don't take the time to get to know Jesus. Don't get caught up. Follow me here. Don't get caught up serving the Savior. Get caught up in the Savior that we serve. And let your works flow out of that. Because this is it's a dangerous road that we can walk, because so many times we see people come into the church and our first goal is plug them in. We hear that said a lot. Plug them in. The question is, what are we plugging them into? Are we plugging them into work? Boy, we could use you on Sunday mornings. We could use you on Wednesday nights. We're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing this. Or are we plugging them into opportunities to know Jesus first? To sit at His feet, to humble ourselves at His word, to worship Him, to lovingly gaze at Him so that we can feel that grace and that mercy and that love and imagine the works that flow out of that. But if our first focus is work, that's a dangerous road to walk. Like I said, this passage has been speaking to me a lot for a lot of reasons. I spend a lot of time here. And it's been on my heart lately is, why am I spending the time here? And out of what is that relationship or those works flowing? Is it flowing out of my relationship with God that I've gained so much of knowledge of Him and I feel so close with Him that I have no choice but to serve? Or at times, am I here out of obligation? Obligation's not bad. But am I here with a heart that's not right? Serving because I think it's going to get me somewhere, instead of serving because Christ has already gotten me where I need to go. Have you ever found yourself praying this? Anybody that's active and involved in the church, you probably at some point have said to yourself, God, I need help. But maybe we're not praying for the right kind of help. Maybe we're just praying, God, will you send people? Will you send man hours? Will you send people, regardless of where their heart is? I need bodies here to get this done. And in essence, isn't that prayer saying, God, make them like me? That's a prayer I never want to utter. Find myself praying this one all too often. But the amazing thing is, God always answers the same way. And that's a cool thing. I can almost hear Bob, when He says your name twice, you know you're in trouble. Bob, why are you worried about so many things? Why are you worried about all these preparations and the nuts and bolts and the details? Are you missing the fact that I'm here? Sit at my feet. Listen to my word. Let me change you. And out of that heart, let service flow. Because Jesus said that Mary chose what is better. It's not saying that we're never to serve. It's just saying that there is a time where we need to put all that aside, put ourselves at the feet of Jesus, and listen to every word He has to say to us. The question is, are we too busy to do that? So here's my question for Norman Alliance Church. Are we too busy to do that? And here's why I say that. For a time, certain ministries within the church have been on my heart. And you think about it, there's always people, they serve so faithfully. They serve on Sundays. They're probably serving on Wednesdays. And you probably find them here at least one or two other days a week doing something. But sometimes those are the same people who actually don't have time to worship. They're here on Sunday. They're here during the service. They're in the back teaching the kids. They're doing different things. They're helping in the nursery. We all have a lot of duties here. We have ushers in the back. We have Vicky leading music. We have people on the platform. And my question is, if we're so busy serving in all these capacities, do we still have time? Are we still making time to sit at the feet of Jesus and hang on every word that he says? I was talking with a brother of mine, and we've talked about these specific ministries and how is it that we can let this go as a church? Don't we have a heart for the people who give so much in time that it maybe takes away from their ability to study? Because if you're here on Sunday morning and you're serving somewhere else, and you're here on Wednesday night but you're helping with the kids, are you getting fed somewhere else? Or is your first desire, like Martha's, to feed Jesus, when in fact you need to be fed by him? Like I said, you're not going to hear this message too often. But it's one that speaks into my life, and I hope it speaks into yours, that don't get caught up in the service aspect of Christianity too quickly. Spend time at the feet of the Savior. Hang on his every word. Worship him fully, completely, and then see what God does when he blesses that worship and that time spent with him. Just see what God does. It's always a worry, I think, for maybe for pastors, that the church gets too busy for itself. We have so many things we want to do. Wouldn't it be great if we did this, and we did this, and we did this, and we did this? The problem is, in time, you start viewing that time as, I need bodies. I don't care. Are you breathing? Good. Help me. I need help. That should not be our objective as a church. Our first objective needs to be to take everybody that we can find and put them at the feet of Jesus. And while we're at it, we need to put ourselves there too. And just see what happens.